Okay. Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. We'll go right into the book. The Guide for Miracles. Miracles demonstrate that learning has occurred under the right guidance. For learning is invisible, and what has been learned can be recognized only by its results. Miracles are sudden shifts of perception. They occur when a willingness to learn has been present, and the teacher you have sought for the learning has been one who can teach you truly. The ego, as a teacher, cannot teach you truly, but the Holy Spirit can. And those are the only two teachers you have available to you. You can tell whether you have learned or not when you have results, when you have the evidence of learning. In other words, when you have healing, when correction of an illusion has occurred, when correction of a misperception has occurred. When correction of anything false has occurred. Its generalization is demonstrated as you use it in more and more situations. Use what? Well, I'm going to say miracle-mindedness. Or we could call it miracle readiness. And what is that? It's when you abandon your confidences about the fact that a miracle can't occur. Miracle readiness is the frame of mind you're in when you're willing to abandon the definitions you've given to something so that you might look at it with fresh, or as I've called it, innocent eyes. And see it anew, letting it, whatever it is, communicate to you its meaning, to shine forth to you its act of glorifying God. Miracle readiness is something that needs to be brought into play more and more of the time. And I've described miracle readiness as your active curiosity to see the more of God that is there wherever you're looking than what you're presently seeing. And of course, in many instances, you are looking and what you're seeing is something that you can't identify as God at all, because you're absolutely confident that it isn't God, that it's your enemy, not your ally, and that there's nothing that can be done about it. I said last week that in every single moment of your day, no matter what is in your face, what is in your face is the presence of God inviting you to see it for what it really is. Every single thing you encounter is a companion whose intent it is for you to see it as it truly is. whose intent it is to have you see it glorifying God, exhibiting God, manifesting God, instead of what you imagine it is. And so you are constantly confronted with this ever-present help, this ever-present encouragement to recognize God. Now, what if you were recognizing God all day long? What kind of meaning would it have for you? How would it make life different for you? Well, right off the bat, you would find that there was no call for fear. And so you would be experiencing being fearlessly, free of all fear. That's the potential in every single moment, because that's the invitation from absolutely everything that confronts you. And the only reason you don't see it is because you are convinced, you have convinced yourself that God is not there, that something else is. That is the only reason. I cannot emphasize it enough. That is the only reason. And if that's the only reason, the answer is equally simple. The answer isn't complicated. And miracle readiness is what lets in the discovery of God right there in your world, changing your apparent need to be in a constant state of self-defense, replacing it with peace. And the opportunity for spontaneous joy and an ability to deal with your brothers and sisters without a facade and without games, and enjoy the pleasure of just truly and simply being yourself. And finding that being yourself is valuable for everyone. You will recognize that you have learned there is no order of difficulty in miracles when you have applied them to all situations. You see, as long as you think some situations are more difficult than others, then you will not make the gift of miracle readiness in the more difficult situations. You will justify not giving that willingness because the situation is too difficult. Or that fellow's ego is so full of itself that it couldn't possibly yield to any gift I might make of an acknowledgement of what is true or a willingness to see what is true right there. And so there is no use, and I will go and find an easier situation to make the gift of miracle readiness. And so you make distinctions between this and that. And you suffer from the distinctions, not from what is confronting you. You suffer from the distinction because there are places where you withhold your willingness to see God and thus deprive yourself of the opportunity to see God. And so you suffer from this self-imposed blindness to the presence of God. It's that simple. There is no situation to which miracles do not apply. And by applying them to all situations, you will gain the real world. If you're looking with a conflicted mind, one where you have made divisions in your definitions of everything into good and bad, right and wrong, real and unreal, worthy and unworthy, and on and on and on, you, by virtue of your conflictedness, will see conflict. Not because it's there, but because that is what you're wishing to see. That is what you're insisting on seeing. And you insist on it by an unwillingness to be miracle-minded. You do it by simply withholding your willingness to see God there. There is no situation to which miracles do not apply. And by applying them to all situations, you will gain the real world. That means the daffodil that's blooming this morning. Or the slugs that will come shortly. Or the traffic on the freeway. Stop making the distinctions, and where you had been making the distinctions, difference will disappear, and God will appear. What a thing divinely is, and what its divine intent is, will begin to register with you because you have neglected to make distinctions. And so the real world will begin to become illuminated to you. That's the way it works. You will gain the real world. For in this holy perception, you will be made whole. Why? Because you're not keeping yourself fragmented with your capacity to see differences, a supposed capacity you have to see differences where they do not actually exist. For in this holy perception, you will be made whole, and the atonement will radiate from your acceptance of it for yourself to everyone, and I'm going to add everything and everything, the Holy Spirit sends you for your blessing. What blessing? Your miracle readiness. Your willingness to see God where your conditioned thinking said God was absent. A willingness to see God where you had neglected to see God before. Again, because it's so important. In this holy perception, you will be made whole. You will see through the lens of singularity. And the atonement will radiate from your acceptance of it for yourself to everyone, and I'm adding, and everything the Holy Spirit sends you for your blessing. In every child of God and every creation of God, I'm adding, His blessing lies. And in your blessing of the children of God is His blessing to you. Remember? What you give, you get to keep. What you are willing to pass on to your brother or sister or daffodil or slug, as it moves through you by virtue of your willingness to make the gift, it blesses you and becomes yours as well. See? Well, it'd be much easier if I could get it for myself first. You know, I wouldn't have to deal with the bitch over there, or the bastard over there, or the stinginess over here. I wouldn't have to deal with that. Let me get it first so that I'm very clear and not bothered by those things, and then it will be very easy for me to make the gift of it to my brother. No. You see, you can't insist on maintaining the distinctions between a good place to do it and a bad place to do it, or the right place to do it or the wrong place to do it, or the best condition to do it or the worst condition to do it. Because as long as you do that, you withhold the gift. And when you withhold the gift, it doesn't infill you, and by virtue of its extension, become yours. So you're going to have to work with the situations that confront you. And you know what? You can say, well, the Holy Spirit must have picked this situation for me because there was so much for me to learn. No, it just happens that God happens to be presenting Himself right there in front of you, and you're entertaining a rather lousy perception of Him that is absolutely unnecessary for you to employ. And all that's called for is for you to abandon its employment. Stop having the misperception, the biased, unkind perception of the situation. And say, or become curious enough to say, I would love to see the more of God that is here than I'm presently seeing. I would love to see it. I am willing to stop doing whatever is blocking me from seeing it. And I ask for the Father's help to let it go. Everyone in the world must play his part in the redemption of the world. Why? Because the world is such a God-awful place, and it needs your help? No. Because you're the one who's looking at the kingdom of heaven and claiming that it's something else and believing yourself. You must play your part in the redemption of the world by withdrawing the overlay of your definitions upon it. Everyone in the world must play his part in the redemption of the world to recognize that the world has been redeemed. Which really means to recognize that the world never became what you imagined it became. It's always been the kingdom of heaven. So be careful about the word redemption, and be careful about how you conceptualize the part you play in redeeming the world, because you will never be transforming an unredeemed, an actual unredeemed world into a redeemed world. You will not be coercing an illusion or an unreality into a clear manifestation of reality, because there simply is no such world for you to apply your power to bless it and change it from its awfulness. The world has been redeemed. It's already redeemed, because from the beginning it was the kingdom of heaven and nothing else. You cannot see the invisible, and we're not talking here about the world, the real world. We're talking about the sudden shift of perception. That is what a miracle is. You cannot see the invisible. You cannot see the sudden shift of perception in you when it occurs. Yet, if you see its effects, you know it must be there. By perceiving what it does, you recognize its being. When correction of an illusion occurs, when a disease disappears, when an injury heals very rapidly or instantaneously, and you stand in awe of it, because you know of nothing you did to make it happen, you will, in retrospect, discover that there was something you hadn't been doing that you had been doing before. You will realize that for some reason you were willing to look with innocent eyes. For some reason you were willing to be miracle ready. For some reason you were willing to let something beyond your confidences about the way things work happen. And so you realize that you did play a part in it. But it wasn't a part of authority. And it wasn't a part of personal power. You will realize that there was a point at which you, for whatever unknown reason, became humble enough to stand in receipt of a miracle. You were unguarded enough to let in something other than your awful perception that you were so sure of. By perceiving what it does, miracle readiness, miracle-mindedness, the miracle itself, you recognize its being. And by what it does, you learn what it is. What does that mean? Well, it means you realize that it isn't the result of negative thinking. It isn't the result of your personal confidence, and it isn't the result of any personal power you have. But you recognize, you learn, that it is what presences itself when you stand down from the podium of authority. When you stand down from self-righteousness. You cannot see your abilities, but you gain confidence in their existence as they enable you to what? Act. Not just walk around in dreamy bliss, but to act, to behave in perfect concordance with the singularity of being, the fundamental nature of your mind. Again, you cannot see your abilities, but you gain confidence in their existence as they enable you to act, and the results of your actions you can see. Well, after a miracle has happened, you can look back and you can say, wow, for whatever reason, I didn't behave in this circumstance the way I usually behaved in the past. I didn't respond with fear like I normally would have in the past. I wasn't overcome with a sense of aggressive power confronting me where I would have in the past. And as a result, the ultra-simple answer was clear to me, and that's what I acted upon. I didn't even figure it out. I can't even credit myself with superior reasoning power that brought me to this awareness. Oh, do you suppose there must be a God? There is learning. And with that realization, you're able to go into the next situation or circumstance, or the rest of your day or the rest of your week, from an entirely new vantage point. So that the learning from that situation becomes part of the context of your being present with your life. And thus your miracle readiness begins to be applied to everything much more easily. The Holy Spirit is invisible, but you can see the results of His presence. And through them, the results, you will learn that He is there. Well, come on, who is this He that is there? That which is nothing more than your right mind. And so the experience of the presence of the Holy Spirit begins to register with you as the presence of your right mind, which once again significantly defragments your concept of yourself, bringing your mind into a greater singularity, less conflict. And again, this will begin to color with new colors, bright colors, joyful colors, peaceful colors, all the experiences that follow, which constitute, again, increased miracle readiness, increased undefendedness against the sudden influx of a sudden shift of perception. What he, your right mind, the Holy Spirit, enables you to do is clearly not of this world, for miracles violate every law of reality as this world judges it. Every law of time and space, of magnitude and mass, of prediction and control is transcended. How else could there be an instantaneous healing, let's say, of a broken bone? And don't think that such a thing hasn't already happened multiple times, many times. What do you think has happened when you've been in a traffic situation that there was no way through, and you came through, and there was no impact of any kind? What do you think it is that happens when something you have been conditioned to experience great fear about occurred and you didn't experience the fear and there was no suffering from it? Well, every law of time and space, of magnitude and mass, of prediction and control has been transcended. In the littlest miracle, they are transcended, because they aren't what governs. The miracle is what governs them. Every law of time and space, of magnitude and mass, of prediction and control is transcended. We'll get to the end of the sentence. This is what you have to look forward to. This is what you should be standing in expectation of in every moment you're experiencing. Now, but you're just so damn sure that it takes a certain amount of time to get to work, and you're going to be late, and in all likelihood, all of the lights will be red that you will run into, delaying you even further, and blah, 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 on and on you go. And so you're looking at the kingdom of heaven with the potential of experiencing it with the Holy Spirit, in which every law of time and space, of magnitude and mass, of prediction and control can be transcended. And you're stuck with what you are confident is true. Well, stop being so confident, so that your trip to work in the morning can be miraculous, and so that your perspective and perception of life might be transformed significantly, because if that isn't what all of this is about, then go home and throw this book in the fireplace and make do with what you have, and stop complaining about what you have. Accept it, and find happiness to the best of your ability. But if you're going to be reading these things, and if you're going to be claiming to be actually interested in waking up, then start expecting. The laws of time and space, of magnitude and mass, of prediction and control to be transcended. Start expecting to see matter behave like spirit. Because you're willing to actually consider the possibility that it never was matter, that it always has been spirit, and that it is always at, I'm going to say, the mercy of the beneficent movement of God called creation. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you wake up to the opportunity to see the kingdom of heaven, because it's the kingdom of heaven you're waking up in. You know, let this sink in. Let this register with you, so that a truly genuine curiosity begins to come into play. Why? Because a truly genuine curiosity constitutes miracle readiness and miracle mindedness. And releases you from every confidence you have employed that this or that situation or circumstance is not amenable to a miracle. Including the cancer you seem to be experiencing, including the headache you seem to be experiencing, including the awful relationship with you that you have with your brother or sister because of uncontrollable jealousy. Let miracle readiness, let miracle mindedness be available to every single experience that presents itself to you during the day. Else all you will experience will be what you expect to happen. And you will remain bound by your expectation until you abandon it. Again, it's that simple. That is the crux of the matter. Now we'll finish the sentence. Every law of time and space, of magnitude and mass, these are all the laws of physics, of prediction and control is transcended, for what the Holy Spirit enables you to do is clearly beyond all of them. Perceiving His results, you will understand where He must be. And finally know what He is. That's the wonder of it. Perceiving His results, you will understand where He must be. Well, where must He be? Right there in you. Because it's your right mind. And you will finally know what He is. You, in your right mind, perceiving His results. What would that mean? Perceiving or experiencing the miracle that you realize you played a part in, even though you were not behaving as an orphan. Even though you were not behaving with imagined authority. Even though you were behaving without utilizing reason and logic impeccably. That's how you come back into singularity. That's how you come back into clarity. That's how you come back into sanity. Now, you cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see his manifestations. And unless you do, you will not realize he is there. Well, what's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit? It's a blessing that you are blessed with, that you weren't personally responsible for, and apparently no other ego was responsible for it either. One of those blessings that make you think, there must be a God. There must be something in charge here beside me. And there must be something in charge here beside some other ego. You cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see his manifestations. And unless you do, you will not realize he is there. Miracles are his witnesses and speak for his presence. Miracles are the witnesses of your right mind and speak for the presence, the capital P presence of your right mind. And you should be having more and more of these experiences every day and every week. You should be having. And what's wrong with you for not having them? Bullshit. You should be having it because it's your birthright to be having it. It doesn't matter why you aren't having it. It matters that it's your birthright to be having it. It matters that it's the gift of God to you, that no one and no thing can actually take away. And so it's actually present with you. It's actually functional in you. And you've just been so busy with your little imaginations that it has been escaping your attention. You should be experiencing them more and more frequently, because every situation is primed for the event of a miracle registering with you. What you cannot see becomes real to you only through the witnesses who speak for it. An undeserved blessing speaks for something. A real blessing is one that you feel truly blessed by, a little bit in awe of. It's an out-of-the-ordinary experience that doesn't escape your attention and automatically points you in the direction of asking, where did that come from? Which automatically points you in the direction of some ultimate power or presence, because the experience of it is so out of the ordinary. And all of you have these experiences, even if they're very small. What you cannot see becomes real to you only through the witnesses who speak for it. For you can be aware of what you cannot see, and it can become compellingly real to you as its presence becomes manifest through you. How many of you have been with a friend or an acquaintance who is in the middle of a problem and you had no idea what the answer was, and you were willing just to be present with that person without judgment, vulnerable, genuine, and simply there with them, for them? And things came out of your mouth that afterward you say, where did that come from? And what comes out of your mouth causes the friend or the acquaintance afterwards to say, I don't know what came over you, but everything you said was absolutely perfect for me, and I'm free of the distress that I was experiencing. Thank you. And you sit there and you say, thank you for what? Ask me to do it again, and I couldn't possibly do it because I don't know what I did. Well, that's the orphan talking. That's the one who thinks he has no connection with a source. No, from that standpoint, you don't know what happened. And you know what? From the standpoint of the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than your right mind, you don't know what happened either in this sense. What happened wasn't reasoned out. What happened wasn't calculated. What happened involved no control. All of the things which you as an orphan value because they are what cause you to seem to have value and valid presence. But the experience that occurred that you couldn't duplicate if you wanted to, and which blessed your brother or your acquaintance, is one that you can count on happening again and again and again when you get out of the way, as you discover you had gotten out of the way at the time. And so there is a confidence that begins to accompany you. A confidence that there is a God, that there is something greater than this little tiny orphan mentality that you thought you were, which knows how to be perfectly in any given situation, a way of being that blesses. Blesses the one you're with and blesses you. And how does it bless you most? It blesses you most by uncovering the fact that the apparent need to be personally competent begins to dissolve. What a relief. What a relief to discover that it never was a part of the true experience of being for you in your own right to be competent and to have to be competent in order to be respectable and valid. If you stop and think about it, you'll discover just how much fear you experience as a result of this apparently absolute need for you to be competent in your own right, all by yourself, meaning without any underlying justification for it. A competence that comes from you lifting yourself up by your bootstraps. You say, it's a wonderful picture. The only thing that's going to give you a feeling of security and confidence is if you're standing on solid ground. But no, the orphan in you says, I've got to lift myself up by my own bootstraps. You know, saying, I have to become ungrounded. I got to lift myself up. Off of what? The ground. up, up, and away from the immovable, infinite presence of you. That is what God is being right there where you are, because you're not an orphan. Here we come to talk about actions again, the capacity to act. Do, do, do the Holy Spirit's work, not the orphan's work. Stop doing the orphan's work. Stop playing the orphan role. And stop trying to get charge of the orphanage. Do the Holy Spirit's work, for you share in His function. That sentence was written to orphans who might be able to hear that there is no orphanage and there's no orphanhood. You don't really share in the Holy Spirit's function. The Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. So the Holy Spirit's function is your real function. But, you know, we don't have to blast you with it right off the bat. And so, gently it is said, you share in His function. Well, that's pablum. Meat and potatoes is His function is your function. And it's not shared at all. And it's time for you to own up to it, claim it, and be that way. As your function in heaven, meaning in reality, is creation, so your function on earth is healing. As your function in heaven is creation, so your function in the orphanage is healing. God shares His function with you in heaven, and the Holy Spirit shares His with you on earth. Until you stop dallying with the ego, the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than your right mind, is held in trust for you. And it seems to be something different from the orphan you think you are. It isn't. But it seems to be. And as long as you think you're an orphan, I have to talk to you in the language that you're familiar with. And of course, when I'm talking to you in that language, I'm undoing the language. And I'm undoing the commitment you have to the language. And I'm challenging the confidences you have in the way you're looking at things. But until you let the Holy Spirit, which is your right mind, in, and don't hold yourself separate from it, and let the unification or singularity occur, then you're going to have to behave as better orphans. You are going to have to behave as though you are orphans graduating from orphanhood, coming back into your right mind. And so this process, as long as you spread it out on a timeline, will involve your engaging in healing. What? Correction. Correction of illusion. The willing abandonment on your part of misunderstandings that you've thought were real and true. the disciplined willingness to give your attention to the truth instead of the illusion. Period. Your function in heaven is creation. Well, even if you think you're in an orphanage, you're still in the kingdom of heaven. And you're still the Christ, and so your function is still creation. Until you let go of the confidence you have that you're an orphan, that divine behavior, that function of creation, is going to consistently and increasingly be manifest as evidences of healing in the world as you're perceiving it, because that's the way the scales begin to fall from your eyes, the scales which color and distort your perception of the kingdom of heaven that you're looking at all the time. And so, this is the sense of the sentence that says, as your function in heaven is creation, so your function on earth is healing. It isn't that you're on the earth and you have a function while you're on the earth. It's that as long as you're defining the kingdom of heaven as the world and universe, a physical entity, you are going to be constantly engaged in having your perceptions healed, and therefore healing is going to be the name of the game for you and your brothers. Because whatever healing you allow within yourself is going to be reflected in the way you treat your brothers, which is going to inspire your brothers and sisters to let that in themselves. Because they're going to have a new model. They're going to have new evidences of something invisible to them. Their divinity. God shares his function with you in heaven, and the Holy Spirit shares his with you on earth. Now, as long as you believe you have two functions, so long will you need correction. You hear that word correction? We hear that word correction over and over and over again. Correction means the undoing of something false. It means change. Spiritual awakening and bliss can be conceived of as something which you can experience without change actually occurring. And supposedly, you can be in your bliss while your body is ravaged by cancer, and you won't be bothered a bit. Bullshit. Crap. And all of the other words that could be used, which I won't make Paul use. But you can use those words, and he can use it in his mind. But call it for what it is. Something that doesn't deserve your recognition or honor. Correction. It is the most wonderful word in this book. Why talk about correction if correction isn't possible? Why talk about correction if correction isn't inevitable? Why talk about correction if it isn't the most important thing? to not affect the status quo and to be happy in the misery of the status quo is absolute insanity. Have greater expectations than that. I encourage you to even dare to be demanding of the evidence of correction, because correction is what you want, not stupid bliss. You want those teeth that are falling out of your mouth to be whole again, not subject to decay. You want that heart that's weak or irregular to embody singularity, perfect harmony of its function of identifying God and God's purpose. And you want the evidence of it. And so you're going to dare to be miracle-minded enough to let it happen instead of arguing against it with your confidence that here is a place where God does not reign supreme, meaning your heart or your mouth or any other part of your body. Now, it sounds as though I'm talking about being assertive, but I'm not talking about engaging will. I'm talking about engaging in an impassioned willingness, not an impassioned willfulness. As long as you believe you have two functions, so long will you need correction. Well, what are the two functions? There's only two functions you could have. One is to glorify God by listening for the Holy Spirit, or to glorify orphanhood by glorifying the private mind that you think you have. And the private state of being that is truly yours to be. The latter is a constant state of fear, and the former is a constant state of love. Which function is yours, fear or love? As long as you believe you have two functions, so long will you need correction. For this belief, it's just a belief, remember? A belief is something you made up. It's a string of words or ideas that you've hung together. And then at the end of it, you put an exclamation point. And it constituted a declaration of independence, a declaration of personal private authority of your own. A belief is just an imagination. This belief is, however, the destruction of peace, your peace. A goal in direct opposition to the Holy Spirit's purpose. The purpose of that which is nothing more than your right mind. That means that for you, it's a state of inner conflict in which there can be no peace and no real capacity to love, because what you're committed to is that which is the absence of the capacity to join with and be present with and involved with someone else. In this state of mind, in any state of mind, you see what you expect and you expect what you invite. Listen to that again. You see what you expect and you expect what you invite. It doesn't matter whether you're expecting and inviting disaster It doesn't matter whether you're expecting and inviting death or disease. You will see what you expect, and you expect what you invite. It also doesn't matter if what you are expecting and inviting is a miracle. The results of the two are different. But you must understand that whatever you're expecting and inviting, you're going to get. No, whatever you're expecting and inviting, you have. Always. You see what you expect, and you expect what you invite. You get up in the morning, and you give yourself a quick physical to see how you are. Expecting to find out, right? Well, your expectation is the invitation to what you're looking for. Your perception is the result of your invitation coming to you as you sent for it. Whose manifestations would you see? Of whose presence would you be convinced? For you will believe in what you manifest. And as you look out, so will you see in. Two ways of looking at the world are in your mind, and your perception will reflect the guidance you chose. Two ways of looking at the world are in your mind, and your perception will reflect the guidance you chose. What did you choose to look at the world with? What are you choosing to look at your body with? Are you choosing to look at it with the Holy Spirit, inviting God's perspective of what He's being right there where you are? Or are you asking the orphan's mentality? Which sees itself as sourceless, and therefore incompetent and invalid. Which is left with the eternal task of trying to make something out of the nothing that it is. Your perception will reflect the guidance you chose. Your perception does reflect the guidance you choose. Now, what I want all of you to know is that this skill of expecting and inviting is one that is well developed in you. It's absolutely perfectly developed in you. You are exercising it with perfect skill. So, what does this mean? It means you aren't lost, and you aren't convicted in and by whatever circumstance you're in. It means that the circumstance you're in is one you expected and invited. And because the skill of expecting and inviting is one perfectly honed in you and perfectly developed in you, you can expect and invite something else with absolute assurance that you will have what you expect and invite. So, there's no need for any sense of guilt, because you've never gotten beyond the simple practicality of the fact that what you expect, you invite, and what you invite, you get. And if you want sour lemons, you can have sour lemons. But if you want sweet lemonade, you can have sweet lemonade. Just expect and invite sweet lemonade. Just start doing something new. And ask the Holy Spirit what the something new might be. And ask the Holy Spirit to stand with you in your willingness to be miracle-ready, miracle-minded. You've already been practicing the answer for a very long time, perfectly. You've just been practicing it in the negative. Now just flip it over and start doing something new with your mind every day. And where you might have found, especially after I brought it up last week, that you give a character to your body and you say, it's giving up on me, or it's an angry cut. You probably have found that you characterize nature the same way. Why, just the other day, the forecaster said, winter is having a hard time giving up. Absolutely asinine. You see, you've simply got to be alert and stop using your mind the way you've been using it and start using it a new way. My body is the visibility and tangibility of my individuality. And my individuality is God presencing himself right where I am. Therefore, whatever God is being must be that which my body is intent upon rendering visible and tangible in glory, in glorification of what God is being and intending right where I am. You see? Give a new word, but listen to the Holy Spirit for what the words will be, because they will be a declaration of the truth about your body, which you will then expect to have the experience of. And the expectation will constitute the invitation, and the invitation will necessitate your having what's been invited. Now, you've already been doing this, these steps, but you've been doing them negatively. You've been doing them with confidence that your body is a temporary host for your soul, which isn't going to last forever, and which is inevitably going to begin to break down and collapse and finally abandon you and stop being a host for your soul. Now, that's just another expectation and invitation, which, if you have that expectation, and make that invitation, you will surely have as an experience until you die and discover that, oh, I'm all still here. I thought something was happening and it wasn't. And you have the opportunity, you have the opportunity to abandon the way the orphan mentality chose to look at the Christ that you were and the kingdom of heaven that everything was. So, we're talking about making that shift of choice now. You're bound to succeed because you're already succeeding. You're already succeeding by creating sour lemon juice. You can do it if you want, but want something else. Okay? And just do it without engaging in guilt and self-criticism and all of the rest of the orphan mentality crap that you use to reinforce the lie about you. An orphanhood that couldn't possibly be the truth about you. I love you, every one of you. And I hope you are feeling invigorated in your willingness to be miracle ready, miracle minded, willing to have what your limited perceptions don't allow for. Willing to have what your limited perceptions don't allow for. I look forward to being with you next week.